Hello and welcome back to the Lee Summit Town Hall podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker, and 2 weeks in a row, my co-host, Liesl Hayes.
It's like a real record.
I know.
It's a significant record.
After like a month-long hiatus.
Yeah, I mean, I needed a break from you, you know? I mean, it's tough.
Why are you so mean to me?
I
allow you into this prestigious position.
Very prestigious, yes.
That, you know, my mother and my son listen to.
Yeah, they do listen to it every week, so I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked really hard to get those
two listeners. I know you did. We're really proud of you, Nick. We are.
The Lee Summit Town Hall podcast is brought to the good people by our friends at Budget Blinds of Lee Summit. We love them. It's your place to go, the home of signature series shades, and also just pretty awesome people, awesome local family running a local business, doing good.
They do so much for our community. We always say that. I mean, when you shop local, you literally, when you shop with them, like, you're giving to so many great causes in this community too. So I think that's always a reminder when we shop local, like, our dollars stay here in the community and they pour into a lot of different nonprofits, you know, all the things.
Right. You're supporting the local family, but then also where they spend their dollars is going to be here as well.
Yeah. So, and you can see Bert the dog when you go in there. So really you just want to go see Bert the dog.
If you like businesses that have an office dog, this is the best one.
This is the best one.
Bert is amazing.
He is amazing.
He's got a little perch right in the window. They are located on Main Street right in downtown. Just walk up to the window. Bert's there. Keep and watch. And he will play with you. Well, actually, really, I'm going to not say play.
He won't play. He'll be chill with you.
Bert will just sit there and let you pet him, and he will soak up all the love.
If your, you know, family won't let you have a therapy dog, Bert's the one. Just stop by and hang out with him for like 2 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, buy some shades.
But when you're ready to decorate, these are the people that you're going to see.
They really are.
Go see our friends at Budget Blinds at Lee Summit. Tell them Liesl and Nick sent you. Liesl, a few things coming up this Saturday, or Friday, sorry. Fourth Friday Art Walk
kicks
off this weekend.
Very exciting.
Look, there's a chance of rain, folks. It's okay, though.
That's okay.
I looked at the map. They're saying the rain's going to be out by 6 at the latest. So come on downtown. Check out the art. Shop at some local businesses.
Eat dinner somewhere downtown.
Go to dinner. Go to drinks. It's all good stuff. I'll be there. You can come see me, too. I'll be in the alley beside Blue Heron.
Oh, nice.
So come draw on a wall. If it's not raining, we're gonna have Draw on the Wall back this year.
Draw on the Wall.
That's right.
What is that? Is it graffiti or is it like...
Last year?
No, I don't remember
so
it.
We have a big paper covering the Blue Heron wall in the alley. And everybody gets to come draw. We do a different theme each
cool.
month. So I don't know what the theme is this year, actually.
Okay, well, that'll be fun. But they should definitely check it out.
I mean, how often do you get to draw on a wall, really? Not often.
For some people who have toddlers, it happens quite a bit. But, you know, I'm with you. Most of the time, we can't draw on the wall.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a faux pas.
I don't think the external walls are washable.
Right, that's fair, okay.
If this is too quick for you to plan, but you want to plan ahead, June 22nd, the inaugural Lee Summit Jazz Festival. Make your plans now. It's going to be really cool. The back parking lot of Bridge Space, the old post office in downtown Lee Summit, running from noon to 9 on the 22nd. Lots of great jazz acts. You can find out more. Go to lsjazzfest.com. Tickets are on sale now. As a matter of fact, right now, early bird special, almost 50% off. You can get 3 tickets for $20.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay.
That's right. All right. The real reason we're here, Liesl.
Yes.
To make you cry.
Absolutely.
I enjoy seeing you get emotional. Hey, a couple weeks ago, we had one of the members of our teen podcast, I Can Relate, Ellie Johnson. We aired an interview that she did with a couple of people leading up to the Youth Mental Health Forum, which happened this week, last Monday at the Missouri Innovation Campus. I thought it'd be a good idea to bring Ellie back, along with her co-host of the event, Demetrius. And I'm an idiot, Demetrius, and I didn't even ask your last name.
That's all right.
Like, you even just said when we introduced, I think I said Nick, you said Demetrius, and we were good.
And
we just
rolling.
Stopped.
We're rolling. Man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
What is your last name?
My name is Demetrius Walker.
Demetrius Walker. See,
I was pretty sure it was Walker, but I wasn't going to say
I'm like the worst host ever today.
That's all right. We're rolling. You've actually been great, man. You've been awesome.
But Demetrius and Ellie are here really to talk about what the forum was. This was a packed room. And I feel like it's important to say that because we talk a lot, Liesl, we talk a lot about here about nonprofits and charitable things and how people in the community show up. But this is part of a conversation that's been going on in our community for several years now and one that's been hard when we talk about mental health, and then we also are in the same conversations, we're talking about things in the district like equity and those things that are difficult, and a lot of people check out as soon as you bring up those topics. And I think it's good to remind ourselves that I walked into that forum and it was packed. I'm going to say at least 15, 16 tables of eight full.
That's amazing. I mean, it's one of those things too, where it really was a community conversation. I mean, I love the fact that there was representation. Obviously there were teens there. And you all really gave us a perspective. One of the things that I took away from it was the high level theme for me was don't try and fix us.
Yeah.
I loved, like, it was a really great conversation that you all had. And I think that it helped people like love better, parent better, be there for kids and teens in an entirely different way than we've really thought about it. And so I mean, I loved the conversation.
I always like to tell a story. But one of the reasons we started the I Can Relate podcast program was we did some panels with youth with a lot of questions about, you know, what do you think is going on? What's important to you? What should we be talking about? And like the main thing that came out of it was, looking at us olds, shut up and listen. So I love that shut up and listen. I love the don't try to fix us, because I think it's something that's easier for us to remember when we talk to our old peer group, right? Us fellow olds. But we want to fix the kids because we're parents and we want to fix everything. And sometimes we have to remember that that's not the right thing to do. Just like you got to learn with your spouse not to try to always fix things. You just need to be there. So, well, I'm going to start with you, Ellie.
Yeah.
Give us your perspective. What was this forum about? You pretty much hosted a panel of what, 12?
Yeah,
classmates.
Yeah, I think it was probably about 12. First though, yeah, we were surprised with how many people that showed up, because we did a like pre-registration, 50 people. There was over 150 people in the room, and I don't necessarily, I know the numbers are important, but I don't think the numbers are as important as who was there. Like, we had school board members, we had a congresswoman, we had our mayor, like, we had parents and teachers and everyone like that. So I think that not only did this event like serve as a great space for us teens to, you know, tell everybody, hey, this is what we think is important, it was a great space for them to kind of, you know, practice that let me sit back and actually listen. And I think they got a really cool perspective from us. So it was a great opportunity for all that. And I mean, the 12 panelists that we had were great. They were very active. They were enjoying themselves and they answered all the questions like super well. So it was exciting.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think you, and I'm going to ask, this is unfair because I'm going to ask you to speak for the 12 panelists, your peers. It is awkward enough to sit in front of a big room. You're sitting on those high chairs. There's no
those
table.
Those are so awkward.
Right, but there's nothing in front of you. Like, you can't hide any part of you. You might, when you're talking, you get to hold a mic, which makes your hands feel a little more comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's very vulnerable. And then you throw in a bunch of old people that you don't know all of them. Some of them are elected officials. Some of them are professionals at high levels. Did you feel, even from the beginning, comfortable with saying what you felt like you needed to say?
Yeah, I think even myself hosting, like, there was a level of vulnerability there. And unfortunately, I think that's what it's going to take to really get that message through, is saying, look, we are willing to put in the time and be vulnerable and listen to what you guys have to say. We want the same. We want everything and all of that. So I think I definitely got more comfortable as we continued going on, and Demetrius was awesome. He was very supportive and we're a great team. But yeah, I think the vulnerability was necessary. And so it was just being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I would say that was probably the mutual feeling throughout all of us.
So Demetrius, what kind of did you take on as your role? Was it really kind of to be an intermediary between the generations?
I think I serve primarily as an engagement tool to bridge the gap between, you know, our panelists, my teammate here, Ellie, as well as the adults and the leadership that was in the room. So I really wanted to engage and bridge that gap between us so we wouldn't feel like we're apart, or no one would feel like they're imposing or not listening, as we talked about. So I really feel that my role was to bridge that gap.
What would you say was it what you thought it was going to be heading in? when it happened?
We kind of did a previous event.
Yeah, the teen one.
Like a month or so ago.
Right.
But it wasn't as packed. So when I got there and I start seeing the more and more people come in, I thought how wonderful it was, you know, to see the, you know, the turnout, the outcome, you know what I mean? Especially of the leadership that was in the room, as Ellie said, you know, mayor, congresswoman, principals, you know what I mean? It just filled my heart with joy that they really care and they want to be there to hear what students had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a significant thing to get that many people in a room together and just have a candid conversation. But also, I love what you're saying, Ellie. It's a lot of it's about listening, right? It's about us as parents and teachers and role models really just pausing and hearing your perspective and understanding, you know, what you struggle with. And I think it's really, really cool to see the two of you doing that. So I want to ask you this. What do you think surprised you the most about the event? Like, if you could pick one thing.
Yeah, I would say it was definitely like the participation we got. There was like a lot of visibly active listening people. I looked around the room and it seemed like everyone was very engaged in what was going on. And I mean, I hope that was because of our awesome presenting skills.
Oh, it, Ellie, I know it was.
Yeah, but they were really listening. And
there were a few flubs with your slideshow clicking, but you know.
Hey, it comes with being live. Right. But so yeah, it was interesting to watch. And while there was some pushback, I mean, that's natural, but everyone did walk away with, I think, learning something, and that was the goal.
Let's pause a little bit and talk about the format for people that weren't there, how you actually structured this, because you had people in separate tables, and there were different you would pause for table-side conversations.
Yes, that's correct. So the structure or the setup was everyone had a table. We had leadership at the table along with students.
The leadership was the student, by the way. The student was leading everything.
Yep, very much so. And so they had takeaways on the table where they would write their feelings down on what, you know, Ellie and I was talking about, what we presented on the slides. And so their thoughts, their feelings, they would write down or put in the jar. And then in the end, we discussed, you know, some of those feelings and those thoughts, as well as reviewed the pledge or, you know, shared the pledge with everyone. So the whole structure was to have the takeaways, right? Anytime you do power slides or you do a presentation, you want to have some takeaways. You just don't want it to be a training session where you're just sitting there,
right?
or PowerPoint by death, as some people will say. You really want the audience to be engaged, but also the panelists and everybody else. So what I take away from was the takeaways and the feedback and the input that the students gave and the panelists gave, as well as the leadership and the people that was in the high positions.
What were your two top takeaways?
Yeah, the feedback, the input. So we would ask the panelists, which were the students, certain questions of how they felt about the topics that were presented. And the feedback that we got from them was monumental, because we got to truly hear how they felt, right? It was coming from a good place and it was authentic. And so that was a big takeaway for me. The other takeaway was, piggyback off what Ellie said, was the participation, the engagement. They really wanted to be a part of it, and they were really being active listeners. I know it's a difference to hear something, just be listening. Yeah. But to be an active listener, to be non-judgmental, to see their body language really wanting to participate in and write down their thoughts and feelings was my takeaways.
I always like to find that one person or those two people when I host or moderate those things. And so I'm going to look at you, Ellie, for this question to start with. And
okay.
Demetrius, you can jump in too. But I'm always curious, did you notice any, that one or two that maybe didn't start out active listening, but at the end they just couldn't help themselves?
Yes. My mom was one of them.
Ah. Wow.
Yeah. So I had told my mom about the first one I hosted, and she's younger, so she is like on the progressive side of wants to help out with teen mental health and stuff. But there's also the part of her that really pushes the, I want you to succeed. I want you to be responsible. So these conversations don't happen a lot between the two of us. And so she came and she sat at a table with some moms whose daughters were on the panel actually. And she had her mind blown. She was like, Ellie, like that was very innovative, like that was so mind-opening, and I actually really enjoyed it, and you did a great job hosting. So I was really proud of my mom. She stepped outside of her comfort zone, and I think she got something out of it. So
I love this.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask her a hard question because I might need the answer to it. So okay. my question to you is,
and
like,
I met your mom too, she was cool.
Yeah, she's cool. She's legit. Okay, so here's my question, because a lot of us as parents, like, it's these conversations are hard, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't always know when to have them. Like, yeah, we struggle with that, right? And role models and parents, all of us adults. So my question for you is like, how do you want those conversations to happen and occur? Like, how do you want to connect over those? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, this actually came up, like, with the panel. They brought this up. They were talking about how, like, we want you to ask, but sometimes we need you to not ask. So, like, it's kind of it's a hard request. Like, ask me, but don't ask me. I think it's really just, like, I mean, you know your kid. Like, you know their limits. And so definitely ask them and then just feel it out, work through it with them, because they don't know what's going on either. Like, the panel echoed that so hard, is we have no idea what's going on with us. We don't want to feel the pressure of we have to know, like, because it is difficult. So just really stand by and, like, hold our hand, like, help us, give us a hug if we need a hug. Like, I feel like a lot of kids feel, you know, like they can't ask that sometimes, but, like, just give us a hug if we need a hug. So yeah, that's what I would say.
I'm gonna look at you, Demetrius, for that. Okay. I think I really kind of start with the same question. Like, did you see some things change as the evening went on?
Yeah, I did. I'd seen, you know, especially some of your leaders that was there. I think they were kind of trying to see what this was about. And anytime you're stepping into new territory, you know, you're going to have those guards up. You're going to have the speculation because you don't know. So I kind of expected that. But as we begin to be more relatable and build that connection and, you know, give those leaders takeaways and involve them in the learning process, they opened up and they began to participate as well. So that's what I seen.
So as you started to have these authentic conversations, what were like the top couple of things that you heard people be really emotionally vulnerable about as teenagers?
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, it's always going to stick out, but they talked about sports and school balance. Like, that's the whole reason why I ended up quitting my sport, was because, like, I felt way too much pressure to do both. So that came up. And then they also talked about gun violence. Like, that's a real issue right now with teen mental health. Like, we're afraid to go places. And so we feel like that gets ignored a lot, I think, from adults, is just the fact that, like, you know, like, you can't really do anything as teenagers now because there's cameras everywhere, and two, there's bad people everywhere. So, like, it's like, what do you do at our age? But, I mean, other than that, there was a lot of stuff just about, like, stress. Like, we're feeling a lot of stress, and it's because, yes, like, we're growing up and things are changing, but nowadays you have social media, you've got, like, online classes, and, like, you're expected to perform at a higher level younger. So I think that was a lot of what was echoed.
Yeah, absolutely. And to piggyback, all those things that Ellie said, it was true. What I take from that was the request, right? So everything that Ellie just said, the request from the students were just meet us where we are, right? Meet us where 100%. We are. Don't be judgmental and just hear us. Just listen and meet us where we are, and then you'll be able to understand that. And then some of them gave their example of, hey, I have good parents that are supportive, and they do, but when I need my space, just give me my space. And so that was my takeaway from all the examples that Ellie said. Just meeting them where they are. And my thing that I kind of inserted there was just having that empathy when we're meeting, you know, where they are. And two-way, right? The parents, you know, we need to understand the students, right? But students have to understand parents too, and teachers and leaders, to build that relationship so they can build that bond and connect, and so it can work both ways.
Absolutely. It's funny you talked about the meet us where we are thing, because I feel like that's so easy to think about when I'm talking to a peer in the same age group or the same perspective, right? It's much harder to think about when I'm talking to my son, who's a junior in high school.
I deal with that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That's why. Why is it as hard as it is? I think that's just that's interesting reminder. It's a great reminder, but it just, when you said it, I was like, yeah, why is that harder?
Yeah, and I think it's not even just that, though. I think we suck at this as adults, too, honestly.
Well, that's true.
Like, I think we live in a culture now where we grab on to these ideals, right? It's like, I believe this thing, and no matter what you say, I'm not going to believe it, and now we're not friends, and, like, we're never going to talk again. And, like, we don't approach things with emotional honesty and a willingness to learn from other people's experiences. Like, and I think that's a significant challenge when we're raising our kids too, because we weren't taught this emotional agility and this ability to have these conversations. And so we're not equipped with these tools, but y'all are also saying, like, we're not equipped with these tools either, people. So can we figure out how do we all get equipped with these tools? Yeah. Because if not, the younger generation is going to come in and you're going to fix the gun violence problem. Y'all are, in a way, like, you're asking us to lead and we don't know how to do it. So we just throw our hands up in the air. But what we should really be doing is figuring out how do we fix this, but how do we solve this together? Like, it's a dual problem.
That's such the interesting thing, though, because, like, mental health has always existed, like, you know.
Yeah.
And but we've never talked about it. So the approach is what's new. And I think that it's really coming from, you know, my generation, just because, I mean, technology, like, we can communicate with people all over the world. We are having just more empathy, and we are more willing to learn of others' experiences. And now that this is becoming a conversation of, oh, hey, you deal with that too, me too. Like, we're like, why is nothing being done about this? Why does nobody talk about this? Why aren't we trying to change this? This is a problem. And so I think that's where us becoming empowered is really coming from, is the fact that we're finding community within each other. And so we're just wanting everyone else to be able to listen to what we've been enlightened about.
That's an interesting perspective. Just hearing you and Liesl there, it made me think about the generational progress in it. You know, if I look back at my grandfather, who was the World War II generation, common knowledge, they didn't talk about it, right? Like, how many times have you heard those guys came home and never said a word?
And you saw the effects of it.
Well, yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And hopefully we're getting a little bit better
each
generation. But yeah, I think there is finally, and maybe it's what gives us hope, and maybe it gives too much pressure on your generation. That would be an interesting question to you. But maybe we're finally getting good enough that we can talk about these things publicly. Is that... Ellie, is that both good and is that also scary?
I don't know that I would consider it scary. Maybe it's just because, like, I feel confident within myself to talk about it, but it's just, it feels like the right thing to do. Like, it's like you said, like, everyone keeps looking to us, Liesl, about, like, well, what are we supposed to do? Like, we have no idea. We've never been talked to about this. Like, what do we do? And us, like, being younger, we know what to do. Like, it's not that hard. Like, just listen and say, how can I help you? And, you know, work together. So I think that we feel prepared.
We're making it hard for them. Like, I think about that a lot of the time. So, like, I was talking about this with my therapist today, and I think it's very important. We make it hard. We think it has to be this, like, big conversation, or we got to take you on a trip, or we got to do all these things. But what I'm hearing you say is that, like, it's so simple, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, you're the ones making this hard. Like, all we have to do is you just need to listen and meet me where I'm at. And I think a lot of the times we create those barriers as adults.
Well, I think as parents, we love the big sweeping gesture.
Yeah, right? We do. We like to be Disneyland. We call it, like, Disneyland parents, Disneyland dad.
But I mean, it's true. Yeah. Well, you know, look, we all watch TV, right? We all want that moment at the end of the episode. come here, son. I'm going to have the heart-to-heart for generations.
Yeah. We grew up on, like, Fuller House. Like, those are the chats we went. But those, I guess those weren't real. So it's fine.
I know.
It's fine.
I think we're just looking at it through a lens of, like, it's a learning process. We're also at that age where, like, everything's a learning process. So we don't, like...
By the way, hey, Ellie, I hate to scare you.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I think we're looking at it through a lens of, like, does it need to be perfect? Like... We've already established that,
that's
like,
interesting.
You're not perfect. Like, that's why we have mental health stuff. You know, like, nobody's perfect. So, does the transition need to be perfect?
Well, tell us what it means to to show up imperfectly for you,
like the transition being perfect, or
no? Just like what I'm hearing you say is that you know we're not perfect,
yeah,
but we do want to show up perfectly, like we do. So, what does it look like for you? A parent or an adult showing up for you imperfectly?
Just being open-minded, being a listener, empathetic, and I mean, I think that's it. Like, aren't those just like what being a good human is?
Why do you have to make it sound so easy?
Gosh. Yes, you're right. No, go ahead, Demetrius.
No, it sounds easy, but soft skills are harder to learn than your hard skills, right? And everything that Ellie just said is about your soft skills. The thing about soft skills is that we're people, right? So some days we may not feel like ourselves. Some days we may be upset. Some days we may feel like we don't want to hear. Or some days we may be going through something financially, something that, you know, we're dealing with in the community or at work, right? So sometimes when that's happening, those soft skills just don't kick in. So they don't cross over well. So that's the hard part. You know, your hard skills, it can be, you know, anything that you do, assignment, you know, a deadline at work, you can come in and leave and don't talk to anybody, right? But to listen to your child or student when they're going through their worst times or having these tough topics as we're talking about, it can be hard because you have to really turn that switch on to say, okay, these are my soft skills. I have to have empathy, right? I have to show gratitude. I have to have a listening ear right now. But right now I need somebody to listen to me, right? Mm-hmm. But I got to, you know, do that. So that's, to me, that's the barrier, right? When we're going through things and we have to listen to our students or our child, right? And turning those soft skills on.
I think Demetrius made a good point. Like, he said, like, you might have a financial problem going on. We don't do that. We don't have to worry about those things that you're mentioning right there, like those hard skills you were talking about. So I think it is easier for us just in the sense that, like, you know, we have a bad day, like get a good bad grade or whatever. But we look at life through a different lens. You know, like it makes me think of like the Peter Pan thing, like how like when you're a child, like you think of things one way and how you're, when you're an adult, you look at things another way. And so I think that does play a role into like my generation's viewpoint of like how we approach problems and solutions.
May I add something?
Absolutely.
Ellie? Please. So financially, some students are worried about financially what they have, what they don't have.
Oh, I do worry about that.
I just want to put that clear because I, you know, some students and some kids come from different backgrounds and you know, socioeconomic statuses. So some of them have to worry about, am I going to eat? Is my lights going to get turned off?
Yeah.
You know, do is my mom and dad in the house, right? Because I think one of our panelists said, you know, I come from a different type of home, you know, and different, you know, background or racial background. And so sometimes those kids worry about those things.
Yeah.
And so a parent could be worried about some things financially like we do, adulting. And then a kid could be worried, can feel that same pressure, you know, coming and going, and when you're at school or you're dealing with mental health. So I think that's big.
Yeah, I think it's huge. A couple things there. One, it's important to remember, I think, that as youth are developing, they are emotional sponges.
For sure.
Right? Like,
we
may be hiding it, but they can feel what's going on. Like, they know.
Yes.
I think the other thing to remember, too, is because like sweeping generalizations are easy. And in the economic world that is our little suburb here, right? It's very easy to just go, nobody in Lee Summit is worried about economics.
Yeah.
It's very easy to say that and to forget the part of the population that is.
Yep.
You nailed it.
Because
it is.
It's there. And there are lots of stories of that we talk about.
One of the panelists, I believe, gave her story on how her peers thought that she had a lot of things that don't go through, you know, different barriers or struggles in life. And she said, I do. And I was going through this and therefore and the other. And her, I guess, the final conclusion was don't assume. Right. You know what I mean? Because her peers thought that she had it all. But she was like, nah, you know, just don't assume. You know what I mean? So that goes off what you're saying, even if you are in Lee Summit or in a, you know, area that is, I guess, quote unquote, financially stable, there is a demographic that needs that assistance, that needs help, that is struggling, and that goes through barrier or financial barriers or, you know, mental and psychological or physical barriers that they face every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go backward a little bit, and this is to lead to the feedback. And I don't know if you both have had a chance to look at, you know, what they left at the tables in their notes. Or, and I know you saw some of the questions that they had. But, Ellie, earlier you talked about how one of the topics that was important and big was gun violence.
Yeah.
And that hit me a little bit because I feel like that's something that as parents we think about, we worry about. But maybe it's just because I want to believe this. I want to believe our schools are safe.
Yeah.
And that the things that our kids are going to and your generation are fine. Like, mm-hmm. It's one of those things that happens elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so I think to hear that it is more on your mind than I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we can't escape it. The stories are everywhere. It is happening. We've seen it.
Especially
happen.
In Kansas City.
We've seen it happen in Lee Summit. Right. It's happened. We just don't like to talk about it. Were there other topics that maybe were at the forefront from the adults that were at the tables that struck you? Was there any feedback, things that came back to either of you that you're like, oh.
You got it.
So we had a, towards the end, we had the iPad where leaders, adults can take a poll and send in their questions. So one of the questions that I remember was you all said meet you where, you know, you are, but how do we do that? So that right there to me struck that they really are trying to figure it out. Of how do we do that? Yes, we hear the word, right? Yep. You hear the, you know, it sounds great, but how do we do it? And then I remember the panelists just going, giving them examples of how to meet them where they are. And you know, to be able to find that solution or find a common ground or a connection, right? To find that solution. So I think that was one of the questions that really rung out to me of a leader or a parent, whoever typed that question in of, hey, how do we meet you where you are? And to hear that feedback from the panelists and of how to do it was pretty awesome.
What were a couple of those answers?
One of them, active listener, be a number one, just active listening. Two, have empathy and don't assume. I think I said that earlier. Those were my takeaways because they asked that and they was like, just listen to us. Right. And don't be so quick to judge or whatever, but just be a listener. And then I kind of piggybacked off it. And I was like, hey, but it's a difference between listening and being active listening. Right. Or active listener. Right. You can hear somebody all day long. And yeah, I hear you. But then you will know it, Ellie. You know, somebody just they're not authentic. Right. Or, you know, if you tell somebody something that your psychological safety is in jeopardy. Meaning if I tell you something or you something that you're going to hold it against me and can't wait to tell somebody else or throw it back up in my face. Right. And I think the act of listening piece was something that was very important for them to just accept them for who they are, be an active listener, really digest what's being said, and let's come up with a solution together to figure it out.
Demetrius, I love what you just said, though, because I think a lot about, I'm pulling Brene Brown out, sorry, you know, yeah. it just happens, but she talks a lot about this concept of, you know, building psychological safety and trust involves this thing called the vault, which is...
Like Taylor Swift?
Yeah, well, not like Taylor Swift,
nobody's like Taylor Swift.
The hidden
we can
stuff?
Talk about her latest album here in a few minutes.
Okay, good.
But I will say, what I love about the vault concept is... It's the safety of when I tell you something vulnerable about myself, that you're not going to use it against me later in an argument or a discussion. And we've all done that. We can all like say we're guilty of that. But I love what you're saying, Demetrius, because it's this idea of if you want to trust someone, it's really important that they're holding these things in a guarded space, right? And not using it against you all later in a conversation that we have. And so I love that as like a specific example that parents and adults can use in the future to think about that, you know, in building trust with their teens.
Absolutely. It makes a difference.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, not gonna lie, I have a little bit of a different perspective on the question.
That's interesting.
Like the things that you were saying to me, like, you know, they said like be an active listener and things like that, like, but the parents were asking how. The parents were asking for like, give me a game plan, give me something tangible, give me exactly what I can do to help you, which is a great question to ask. But the teen response is, we don't know. We just want you to listen. That's it. Like, we don't have a game plan for you. This is not thought out. This is just we really just need you to be supportive and just stand right next to me. Don't stand up here. Don't stand down here. Stand right next to me and just help me through it. So I think that that's really what I took away from that question, was that the parents weren't quite there yet. They're there. They're on the right track. They're asking the question, but they're not getting to the fact that we don't need anything. We need you to be present with us.
Ooh, that's good.
I love
good.
The way you said that about, don't be up here, don't be down there, be right here beside me. I think that's a great description. And it goes back to, I think, again, it's so easy, at least for me, I won't speak for Demetrius and Liesl here and all the other olds.
All the other olds. Don't put me in your category.
You are in a different generation.
I know. No, continue.
You're
on.
Well into your fours.
You're going to say something insightful, and I shouldn't have made fun of you. So continue on.
But I think it's so easy for us to think about that with a spouse or a friend or whatever, right? Like of a peer group. Mm-hmm. But with our kids, with teens, we feel such a need to be the leader, to be the adult, to be the fixer, that I think just hearing the, I don't know, there is no game plan, you just need to be there, is scary. Because that question of, I hear you, but what do I do? How do I do it? I'm going to guess they were looking for a game plan, a rule book.
Yeah.
And it's scary to think there isn't one.
We're all looking for a game plan and a rule book, though. Like, I think about this. We do it in our adult lives, too. Like, people be like, well, how do I manage virtual people? I need strategies. I need a game plan. I need you to give me tools. And I'm like, you know, a lot of it, I know it's hard for you to hear, but we're not going to release something that all of a sudden is going to break apart the world and now we can all work virtually
there
and
are no
engage.
Magic wands.
Like there are no magic wands. Like literally you have to get to know people. Like you have to ask them questions. And like that's hard for us as humans because it's way easier just to be like, just give me the rule book. Just give me the tools. Like that's easier. And I think you're saying to us as well, like there's no playbook. Like there's not a simple solution. We're all different, unique. We have different backgrounds. We have different experiences. Like we just need you to be human with us. And like that is hard for us to hear because we just want to fix it.
Well, yeah,
right?
It's a little bit scary.
Yeah. And everything that you all said though, it goes back to, if you remember when we started the podcast today, and I mentioned, you just have to meet them where they are. If we meet them where they are, right? Us, even us as adults, and build a relationship, the game plan will come. I think when we start thinking of solution first and not meeting them where they are and building the relationship and understanding, having empathy, the soft skills, we lose it, you know? But if you start with the fundamental, hey, I'm going to meet them where they are, come down, right? Build this relationship, get to know what's going on, who they are, find connection, find relateness, right? And then while they're telling me whatever they're going through, demonstrate the soft skills, right? Make sure I have that psychological safety intact, right? Make sure I'm protecting them so that the trust will be there and we have that vault piece. Then the game plan is going to come because then you're going to build off of that and you're going to know which way to navigate and go.
By chance, are you a coach?
I am a coach.
Okay. I was like, man, why do I want to go run a lap for him right now?
Drop and give me 20.
We can do it. I'm not really good at the push-ups though. So let's run around.
That was like 20 years
space,
and 100
like a couple
ago.
Times. Yeah. Okay. That's totally fair. But you know, it's so good because what you're talking about, again, it's simple and hard at the same time, right? It's mm-hmm. easier just to be like, and I know I'm the worst about this. Just take this Enneagram test and then I'll figure out how I should relate to you, you know? And again, Enneagram, it's a tool, yeah. right? There are tools.
Don't get her started.
In our toolbox as yes, parents, toolbox. As adults, but like it doesn't substitute having a conversation. It doesn't yeah. substitute getting to know someone on a personal level, right?
Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be another checkbox. It's going to be another thing to do. 100%. And you'll feel it, Ellie, right?
Yeah.
You'll feel it. And you will, it just be, it'll come down to word jargon. It'll be a checkbox and word jargon. And then we'll just be saying and doing something. Mm-hmm. There will be no takeaways. There will be no tools to put in the toolbox to use. And it won't be nothing tangible that we can actually apply and use in a real world. So you have to build a relationship. You have to get to know, to find solutions and to build.
Yep. I love that.
Liesl, can I just like emphasize what you just said?
Yes.
You said simple, but hard. It's hard to be simple is what it seems like. Because it's not simple and complex. It's simple and hard. Mm. So I think that that's really where, you know, we're coming at it from that different perspective is like to us, like, yeah, it's simple, like whatever. And you guys are all like, this is hard, man. This is not like what I'm used to. This is not complex.
The allure of overthinking as you get older is strong.
I'm sure.
It's no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. We don't ever overthink.
Like, I want to be cognizant of time because look, this topic is catnip for me and Liesl. Like,
it is.
If you guys want to do like, four more parts of this,
we would be really good to do that. And I want you to know that I was like holding back the tears. I haven't cried yet.
Well, I know
because yeah, I mean I've never cried during an episode, but I knew this was probably going to be it. I never have.
Is that true?
It's very true.
We'll get her one day.
Yeah, you'll probably get me. You'll probably get me one day. Yeah. But yes, we could talk about it for hours. Nick, redirect, please, and tell us where we're headed.
We love this. I mean, these are the shows that we like doing. Let's talk about some of these hard but simple things, yes. right? And one of the whole reasons we want to do it is to keep fostering conversation in the community. So hopefully more people will continue this. Hopefully more people will reach out to you two and the groups. I want to know, are there plans to do this again? Are there plans to continue the community conversation? I know Ellie's about to graduate, so she's about to just wave bye-bye, see ya to all of us. She's going to Mizzou.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, congratulations, Ellie.
I'm going to brag about her a little bit. She's going awesome. To Mizzou J-School. I'm very proud of her.
Awesome.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, so there are plans, actually, and I'm planning on being somewhat involved. So, like I said, we had school board members there, and they were adamant, like, why is this not happening in schools? Why are we not engaging the students? Why are we not engaging the teachers? Like, this is so valuable, and we're not using what's right in front of us right now. So let's start using what's in front of us. So I think in the next year, like, we're going to start seeing these open conversations happen within school. So it's accessible to everyone. Like you don't have to come at 6:30 on a random Monday and, you know, give your time there. Like it's at your hands, at your feet where you can get to it immediately.
That's awesome. That is great. I hope to see that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Can I say one thing before they leave to both of them?
Absolutely.
I legitimately want to thank you both. So first I'm going to start with Ellie and then I'm going to move to Demetrius. But first, I want you to know that like these conversations are really, really hard. And us parents are kind of dense sometimes and as adults, but we appreciate your gentleness, like your willingness to show up and have these hard conversations with other teenagers, because not everyone can do that like you. It's a skill set that you are sharing for other people. And so thank you for doing that. You are making a difference in the world. And then
thanks.
Demetrius over here, man, I am telling you, like, I can just tell you're the kind of person who you are showing up for this generation. Like you are showing up and rolling up your sleeves and doing a lot of things that Nick and I should probably be doing a little bit better. And so like, thank you for
always do better.
Facilitating these conversations. Like this might be my favorite show.
Oh no.
Awesome.
This is I am so honored right now. Show right now, and you know I don't see that.
I know, but that just means I went down. My episode went down.
Oh, okay. Yours can still be the favorite. Yes, thanks. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Liesl.
Yeah. Thank you both for joining us.
I feel so honored right now. Thanks, Liesl.
Demetrius, Ellie, thank you both for what you did on Monday, but for coming back and talking about it again, because look, that's just as hard. And the more we can encourage people to do the hard thing, and I think the thing that we've heard out of the last several years, and I'm probably going to annoy some people because I'm going to bring up the original equity consultant that the district had. I wish I could remember his name now. He sounded like Kermit the Frog when he talked.
Stop.
but he said, look, this is all about empathy. This is all about taking the time to, as you said, meet people where they are.
Absolutely.
No matter who that is, no matter what age that is.
Have to.
So it's fantastic that you guys are keeping this going. I hope that you're able to do it again and that it can happen at more accessible times and places for everyone. Access is everything. So thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you as well. For staying out there and bringing me in and inviting as well. And listening, having a listening ear today. You as well, Liesl.
Absolutely.
And you all said it's hard to do. It's hard to do, right? But just remember, the hard thing is doable.
And it's so simple. It's doable. Hard.
It just takes it's time, serious. Right? It takes the work.
It takes the work.
But it takes the work. It is doable. So I don't want to get anybody discouraged about it, because it's been hard things in the past that people has overcome, right? So the hard thing is doable.
Yes, coach.
Love it. We should end on that. That was really good.
That was good. He's my hype man, actually.
I can see that. Yeah. He is definitely a hype man.
I am waiting for a halftime speech from you sometime. I want to hear that one.
I can't wait.
That's going to wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody.
Thank you. Week.